This show is very not safe for work. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously. Night Horse Media presents Your Headcanon is Shit, featuring Jenner and Steve-O.
Now that I know how this opens up, I can just introduce myself and say that my headcanon is shit.
I mean, you could also open it with a non sequitur, but I do believe we get enough of that with FNF. It doesn't matter to me how we do this.
Yeah.
I think we'll still be fiddling with the format till the day I die. Or the day you die. Or the day we die together when the giant meteor hits.
Or when the environment collapses. We run out of oxygen.
The Earth's weapons come out of the ground and start yelling at us because we're polluting the ocean and warming the atmosphere. And
oh, wow, it's picking up my typing, so no typing allowed.
And with the fact that we have now spent combined $150 on new equipment, we can say officially this show is now in the red.
This show is in the red.
We are negative money.
If you'd like to donate, I don't have a Patreon, but you can PayPal me.
Get your Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin number here to give money to Jenna under the table to pay for this sweet mic.
If you like my content, please like and subscribe and click the bell.
Click that bell! Ring that fucking bell! Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I do know why we're here. It is Sunday. It's time to record another episode of...
Your headcanon is shit.
How dare you say my headcanon is shit?
Oh, man.
How dare?
Hello, everybody. My name is Jenner, and my headcanon is shit.
Hello, everybody. My name is Steve-O, and my headcanon is also shit. And I'll have you know, Jenner, I was discussing the show with somebody at dinner last night, and they insisted their headcanon was not shit.
Oh, how dare they?
And theirs was the only one that wasn't shit.
We all get like that sometimes.
Oh, I know. I was mentioning the fact that we're recording today's episode on Harry Potter.
That's right. Today we're recording an episode on Harry Potter, which I just repeated, so you can just cut that out.
I'm just going to put Harry Potter for like 10 minutes.
Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Harry Potter.
Because one of the things as an editor is so fun to do is just make mic spam that you'd hear on like the OCR TF2 server being blasted out of somebody's 16 kilohertz headset.
Does the OCR TF2 server still even exist?
I don't think so. I still have the patch and, even though it's torn, the flag that David designed for that server.
Nice.
If you can believe it, that server has its own relationship lore.
Oh, man.
Pairing Mr. Brushfire with a character named Watermelon Kun.
Oh, very nice.
I digress. Tangent of a tangent of a tangent. I am very happy to be here again for episode 3. I wanted to mention before we got started was we do plan on bringing on guests, not necessarily renowned experts on the fandoms, but we will be asking people, friends, friends of friends, people you randomly meet at the bus stop, if they're interested in coming on for a specific fandoms episode. So if you listen to the show and you have a fandom that is particularly in your vein of expertise, send us an email at yourhatemailisshit@gmail.com. If we do an episode on it, we will take those suggestions for guest appearances under consideration.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't pay you, but you get to be on a podcast with us, and we're cool.
Yeah.
We're cool.
All right, I will let you get this underway then.
So before we talk about Harry Potter, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Fire Emblem episode that we did. Because I feel like maybe I was a bit biphobic. Look, if you want to romance an S-rankable character by female Byleth as a male Byleth, that's fine. I'm not interested in racing any bi characters, and I'm so sorry if I implied that. Bisexuals are valid, and that's why Claude should be romanceable by both male and female Byleths. That's it.
I think the idea is we don't want to negate any part of the LGBTQA+. And I'm not making this as a joke, but are there any letters that I am missing?
I believe there's an I in there for intersex. LGBTQIA, I believe, is the whole... Anyway, Harry Potter. Huh. So, Steve-O, did you know that we technically have to thank J.K. Rowling for the broader acceptance of fanfiction and creators of fanfiction? Because we do.
I mean, honestly, I did, simply because as a purveyor of fanfiction and particularly fanfiction smut, Harry Potter is one of the most fanficked franchises in existence. The fact that a very, very prolific and well-known author is okay with fans running wild. You know, as long as that firm division between canon material and non-canon material is there and people don't try to sell it, that's great. That is the kind of encouragement I want to see for any fandom. I don't like when creators are so possessive and attached to what they do that they discourage people from going out, adding their own spin, as long as it doesn't infringe on monetary rights or confuses people about what the actual property consists of.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. As long as you're not, like, stealing somebody's work. I feel like 50 Shades of Grey is really cringy.
Yeah.
Like, it's really towing that line, but I'm happy for the author of 50 Shades of Grey, whose name I've forgotten and I don't want to look it up. So when Harry Potter first came out, there was just this surge in fanfics everywhere.
What year did Harry Potter first come out? Was that 99 or 2000?
No, it was like mid-2000s. It had to have been. Please, it was like...
Because I remember seeing it. I was in high school.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was 99. I better look it up.
97. All right, so yeah, it was 97 is when the Philosopher's Stone came out.
Okay. In movies or the book?
I'm talking about the books.
Okay. Thank you. You can type safely without your recording picking up your typing.
That is not true. I'm just very, very good at making sure that it automatically removes it. I used to have this very loud clickety-clackety mechanical keyboard with cherry blue switches. That got ditched almost immediately once I started doing podcasting for reals because I think Val's room, which is across the house, could hear me when I was typing if I kept the door open. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, the book came out in 97, and I don't remember exactly when J.K. Rowling said that fan works were cool.
I don't remember either, but I do remember there just being so many fics coming out, and people were like, is this legal? Is this okay? And eventually J.K. Rowling was like, yeah, I'm really chill towards it. And that just made Harry Potter even more popular. Potterverse / Wizarding World, I don't know what we're supposed to be calling it right now, is a heavily popular media or fan fiction to this day, like you were saying. It's evidenced by the fact that there are, at the time I checked on AO3, 233,739 fanfics written for the series.
I just found it. A May 2004 article for BBC News is where Rowling backs Harry Potter fanfiction, and she says, her concern would be to make sure that it remains a non-commercial activity to ensure fans are not exploited, and it is not being published in the strict sense of traditional print publishing. So exactly what we said.
Yeah, that was her stance then, and that's pretty much both of our stances. As long as you're not infringing on the artist who needs to make a career out of this, it's fine. Go hog wild. Your headcanon is valid. So J.K. Rowling. She's gotten a little bit weirder about fanfiction lately in regards to people like arguing with her about how things should be. So we have to like talk a little bit about authorial intent versus fandom intent versus the author is dead. There are a lot of essayists who have done this a little bit better than I have, so I'm just going to keep it short. This is kind of my take on it, is you should try to respect the author's wishes, but once it's out there, and people are going to do what they're going to do to it. If my book ever gets published, and it won't, once it's out there, people...
Hey, you don't know what my uncle's going to say. You have no idea.
I should email him. But keep the part where segue in. Let me repeat. If my book is ever published, and it won't be, people will be able to do whatever they want with those characters and ship them with whoever and Omegaverse them, you know?
Oh, not again. Also, I didn't know this. Apparently, Anne McCaffrey is not cool with fan fiction.
Yeah, I was going to talk about it. I didn't write it down in here because there was some stuff that just I wanted to talk about. Sorry, I usually put all my notes, but there was just some things that just I wanted to talk about as an author.
I will let you bring it up then.
I'll bring it up right now. There's the spectrum of authors who are okay with people doing fanfic versus being very anti-fanfic. And on the far left of the spectrum where the people who are very anti-fanfic are Anne Rice, who has actually sued people, and Anne McCaffrey.
Are you shitting me?
No, I am not.
Wow.
She sent like DNRs and stuff or whatever they're called. Yeah. And then on the far right are people who are more okay with it, like me, and I'm not an author, but let's pretend that I'm a published author for a minute. Me and JKR, who are like, yeah, do whatever. JKR is getting a little bit closer to, like, she really wants to lock down on her intent and she can't, like, read people's fan fiction. But, like, N.K. Jemisin, bless her, is all the way over on the far, we're okay with it spectrum. She's like, do whatever. For me, I would just like the sexualities of my characters to be respected. That's like my one thing is please don't mess with that, because we already have enough straight, cis, heterosexual, wait, I just said straight twice. You know, we already have enough of that white characters in media, because like turning a gay character straight or a bisexual character straight is kind of yikes to me. So I prefer that they maintain their sexualities, but everything else.
Okay, I have mixed feelings on this. If you are talking about things that might be a little controversial, for example, in the Overwatch universe, when they basically revealed that Tracer was gay, a lot of people flipped their shit. A lot of straight males were like, oh, how dare you? My waifu, she's gay now. What am I going to do? Well, first of all, you can still masturbate to lesbian porn. That's fine.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's a slippery slope argument.
That's true.
So fan fiction of something that you don't own, you're already saying, well, I'm doing something that the author didn't intend with their works. To go a step beyond, to say that I'm going to change something essential about this character, so like making Harry Potter Asian, or making Tracer straight. Futanari! Making every character a Futanari is something that people do, and...
Yep.
I'm okay with it as long as you're not being spiteful.
Yes, I guess that's what I'm worried about, is like malicious editing and like doing stuff. And if there's no malice, I guess I'd be okay with it. What I can promise you I'm not going to do is if my book ever gets published, I'm not going to sit around all night constantly retconning and putting in new canon for my works on Twitter.com.
Well, how are you going to have enough time to sit around retconning stuff when you're just going to be Googling yourself to see how well your stuff is doing?
Exactly. Buy my book.
Buy my book. Going back to your layout sheet here, because we don't want to have another 2-hour long recording.
Yeah. So we could sit here joking on JKR about her constant retconning and how she undeniably agrees with TERFs for as long as you'd like if you want.
But I don't want to. Like, you're already bringing it up. I don't want to do that.
Okay, good.
It's frustrating as it is.
I personally feel that horse is thoroughly beaten.
Beaten and put on the conveyor belt and turned into various products.
I do want to take pot shots at her naming conventions, which are, in a word, unsubtle. I just pronounced the B in subtle.
I'm canceling you. You're no longer an author because you pronounced the B in unsubtle.
So much so that it's basically impossible to not tell who's evil and who's good solely based on their names. I'm going to make a Harry Potter villain right now, Steve-O. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Their name is Evile Solmire. He's a Slytherin who's good at occlumency.
I think that that's namest, and the comment offends me greatly. You don't know anything else about this person.
Nope, that's it.
But you are absolutely correct. A very obvious naming mechanic.
I am going to make a good character now. Her name is Angela Hartsgold. She's a Ravenclaw and she's good at Quidditch. There, I just made two Harry Potter fan characters for everybody to go wild with.
We talked about it. The joke in it is they announce one of the pirates' names is Big Fat Ugly Bug Face Baby Eating O'Brien. And do you know what she looks like?
What does she look like?
She looks like this.
She looks fine. She's kind of cute.
And then the next pirate announced is Angel Marie, who looks like this.
Nice.
So that perfectly illustrating Big Fat Bug Face Baby Eating O'Brien versus Angel Marie is exactly how you're doing and how J.K. Rowling does the naming convention in Harry Potter. So I don't even need to come up with my own. I've already done that by illustrating Muppet Treasure Island.
That's my pot shot at JKR, who has more money than I'll have in tens of thousands of lifetimes, so who the fuck am I to talk? At the end of the day, JKR is a household name, a multi-millionaire who prints money. She's still TERF, though, trans rights.
You know what the best thing is? I can totally cut out everything that you said negative about yourself. So that when you listen back, you only hear the good things.
I said it too fast. You can't. Haha.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a challenge.
Oh, no.
These hands have edited things you wouldn't believe.
You did edit the Fire Emblem episode, which was, what, like 2 hours and 13 minutes long, and you cut it down to 1 hour and 20 minutes?
A little over an hour 20, yeah.
Yeah, you did good. All right, let's get to the ships, because I have to talk about tropes.
Okay.
The top three are Draco Malfoy / Harry Potter with 35,970.
Everybody loves a gay boy.
Yeah, I have to talk about the Draco in leather pants trope now.
Okay. What is the Draco in leather pants trope?
Draco is an irredeemable racist. Everybody should have hated him because I hated him. And, you know, my headcanon is just the best headcanon and everybody should.
I'm going to stop you right there. Don't forget the name of the show.
Ah, yes. Also, hate is such a strong word. I just didn't like him all that much. Anyway, Draco in leather pants trope is when a villainous character is portrayed in a more positive light in fan works. Usually only characters that are cool and or attractive get this treatment. A good example of Draco in leather pantsing is a fanfic where Sephiroth adopts a kitten, which somebody should do because that sounds really cute, actually. I genuinely feel that fan fondness for Jakeness,
For Jakeness.
For Jakeness. Though I'm going to talk about Jakeness because Jakeness.
Jake, you're so full of Jakeness.
Jakeness was one of the characters in a fanfic of a Katniss / Harry Potter crossover where Katniss is male and her name is Jakeness. So that's where that came from. It's a fanfic that I read while researching this.
I'm looking up this trope right now. It's originating in Hurt Comfort Fix. That makes a shit ton of sense.
Yeah.
So Hurt Comfort Fix are among the ones that to me, like, you can throw almost the entire sexual spectrum at me and I will not bat an eye. Hurt Comfort Fix personally aggravate me. I will throw that out there right now.
Yeah.
As somebody who used to be an emo kid, these things hurt me.
If somebody's being super, super nasty to you kids, you don't have to heal them and you don't have to make them better. It's not your responsibility to do so. It's their responsibility to do so.
Right. You can tell them to get help, but you cannot force the help upon them.
So fondness for Draco and the softening of him by fans and fanworks, along with his popularity among fans, is why Draco, I feel, got any semblance of a redemption arc at all in Harry Potter. By the way, Draco's redemption arc is done all right. JKR isn't really a terrible writer. She's just a terrible person. That's judgment. So that's the first ship. That's the Draco in leather pants trope as well. I think I explained it pretty well. What can I say about Draco Harry Potter?
You're also talking to somebody who has read an inordinate amount of Harry Potter fan fiction as part of the thing they've been doing for the last 5 years that's killed their liver. What I really gather is fans like to see this, number one, because same age, relatively same kind of build. You got a blonde, you got a brown hair, you got the good one, you got the bad one. It's that dichotomy of elements. They want to see him dock. And while going on, they want Draco to admit that maybe he doesn't actually hate everybody. And they want Harry to admit, you know what, maybe some of your points about mudbloods are valid. No, nobody wants that.
Nobody with good opinions wants that. We're being super judgmental today in the Harry Potter, your headcanon is shit.
I am intolerant of intolerance.
Exactly. The hope is, especially since a lot of these are in Hurt Comfort Fic, that most of them play out with, like, Draco being just absolute monster to Harry and Harry just loving him and tending to him and caring about him even as he's terrible to him until he can't maintain the viciousness anymore and he breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry comforts him and, like, that's just abuse. Like, no.
Yeah. To give a little bit of credit to that kind of Hurt Comfort Fic, it does put Harry Potter in the often abused trope of a person basically being Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, Draco constantly abusing the shit out of Harry and Harry just taking it and loving him unconditionally. And that ends up being what turns Draco around. A lot of people raised in particularly religious families end up forming some kind of relationship like that in their head.
In the Jakeness fic that I read, which I hope is still up, please don't take it down. It was on fanfiction.net, so good luck finding it.
Where's my 2 gigabyte archive of fanfiction.net circa 2013?
Jake beats up Draco and rescues Harry. So good job, Jacus. Yeah, I think this is about Harry Potter bringing out the humanity in Draco Malfoy and being a savior, and Draco being like the devil to Harry Potter's Jesus.
It's not devil, it's dethrieval.
Dethrieval?
Yes, I can be your angle, or I can be your dethrieval.
Okay, that's correct.
But, I do want to point out, the word you used, savior, that is on the nose for how Harry's portrayed, not just in the Hurt Comfort Fix or with Draco, but in a lot of the fan fiction involving him.
That's correct. He's the savior, he's the chosen one, and one of my favorite fixes where, I'm not going to name it, but if you are a big Harry fanfic reader, as I am, you understand that Neville Longbottom was like the replacement for Harry Potter. And he was like the backup, just like the spare, just in case Harry Potter couldn't do it. And so one person wrote a fanfic, at least one person wrote a fanfic where Harry dies and Neville has to take up the sword, and it was pretty damn good.
Awesome.
So the next biggest one is Sirius Black / Remus Lupin.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. In fact, the first time I saw the movies very much made me feel like, oh yeah, they're probably gay on the side.
Oh yeah, absolutely. These are both characters who are tormented by their sin and guilt. And as you know, I love those kinds of characters. So this is like a hurt healing where they both bring out the humanity in each other.
Or the animal side as well. They just both transform mid-fucking sex. Well, yeah, mid-fucking.
I guess I better come out now. I am a furry, so I'm into this furry stuff.
Yeah, you admitted that on episode 1.
Oh, did I? Okay, good.
We talked about going to Midwest Fur Fest.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So I'm a furry. I like the idea of them turning into animals and wrestling with each other and stuff. I'm not about that bestiality, but it is hot. Like,
where's that image of the anthro scale?
Anthro, yeah.
Right, like there's an anthro scale where one is like, it's just a person with a cat ear headband and a tail sewn onto their pants. And on the far end of the spectrum is like, this is a photorealistic deer.
Yes.
I guess my only issue with some of the furry stuff that I have read involving Sirius Black and Remus Lupin is blood play. I never like violence and blood play.
Yeah.
That's a personal preference. If you get it out in fan fiction, that's fine. I don't have anything against it personally. I can't do it.
Blood play is a little yikesier now that JKR's constant retconning has come into play, because she said that the lycanthropy curse was the equivalent to HIV.
Oh, that's bad. Who says that?
Right?
I didn't hear about this, but that's also, I don't really pay attention to JKR at all.
She's like, you know, I promised I wouldn't harp on it too much, but I promise I will never do that.
Good.
So I like Lupin Sirius a lot. I think they're good, traumatized, anguished characters who have been artificially, maliciously maligned for no reason. They're genuinely decent guys who, I think the worst thing that they've ever done is bully Severus Snape, but we'll get to Snape here in just a minute, because he's bad. Also, they're both father figures for Harry. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but Harry is at a deficit for decent father figures throughout the entirety of the books and movies. I think he's just got Ron's dad, whose name I can't remember. And then Lupin and Sirius both act as dads towards him. And then Dumbledore kind of acts like a dad towards him, though we'll get to Dumbledore.
Hagrid also acts kind of a dad.
Yeah.
He's got more dads than I do, that lucky fucker.
Yeah. But it's like all these people, he's got big son energy, you know, how we'll put it, because all these people want to take him in because he has no real father, because his dad died and his male caretaker is abusive.
Mm-hmm.
He has no real, like, dad in his life, so we've got all these surplus dads showing up to dad him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that Harry's two dads, like, two good dads, just dadding it up. One of the major reasons why this is such a popular ship is that Lupin is gay-coded already, in many ways. Lycanthropy has been used as a gay allegory in fiction, off and on, for a very long time. You've got this terrible curse that makes everybody view you as a monster and hate you. Sounds pretty gay to me. And Lupin, great name, by the way. Impossible to tell he's a werewolf. JKR, you really threw me. Constantly lamenting about being cursed in the negative views of his existence is no less gay-coded than other werewolf depictions. And it doesn't help that Sirius Black was played by Gary Oldman in the movies, who is conventionally attractive, especially in that role. Like, he's really hot in that role. The movies really fed these fanfic fires with the casting. So, do you have any thoughts about Sirius / Lupin, or Sirius and or Lupin in isolation, Steve-O?
I think it's a very good pair. Out of the top three, it is my favorite pair of the non-canon or maybe even potentially implied canon.
I agree. They're both adults. They can both consent. They both have a mutual interest in each other. This is a hard ship.
What really sells it for me is, for a lot of gay pairings in conventional media, they'll sell it. Look at the Birdcage. You've got a very obviously prancy gay person, and then you've got Robin Williams. You know, the way that Sirius and Lupin are paired together, you can't tell who's going to be top or bottom. The way they do it is it's a camaraderie, it's cooperation, it's teamwork, and it's all that rolled into love and intimacy and furry fucking.
Yes, furry fucking is what we're all about. Well, what I'm all about.
So you and I are on the same page for this.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you on this one. So the next biggest ship is Harry Potter / Severus Snape. That has 11,546 picks. By the way, Sirius Black, Remus Lupin has 15,543 picks. With 11,546, that's pretty popular.
Harry Draco, I really don't enjoy. Harry Severus, I enjoy even less.
Again, we are in agreement. Maybe we should get some not yes men in here. I don't think this is a particularly hot take, but Severus Snape is a terrible person.
Not just a terrible person, he's also one of Harry's instructors. And we have, in this world, a huge issue with authority figures taking sexual advantage of their tutelage, or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
And I do not like that. And I do not like that put into fan fiction form either.
Yeah.
Because you go out there and pick one, I think more often than not, it's going to be some sort of authority abusing of Harry in order to sexually exploit him, if it's a sexual fan fiction.
Right. We recently talked about Fire Emblem Three Houses, where there was also that issue, but they tried to account for it by having that 5-year time skip in it. So the students aren't really your students anymore. They're adults. But even then, it's still kind of squishy. Like, I'm still kind of ick on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I try not to judge too much because, you know, you do you. And
yeah, just because I'm saying that I don't like it doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah, it's not that I like it. It's just like, in reality, please don't date your students. Please don't date your teachers. Please don't date people who have authority over you. The power imbalance is just really not good. But in fiction, that's where escapism comes in, right? That's where you can take out your darkest fantasies. But just understand that these kinds of power imbalances are unhealthy and exploitative. So that's my judgment on it.
They're okay to fantasize about. They're not okay to idealize and desire in real life.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at on it.
Yeah. I am a firm advocate of, I mentioned this before, if you can get this out in a fictional setting, either via artwork or text or RPs or whatever.
Yeah, role playing.
That's fine. Do it in a way that is safe and consensual and does not affect people. And above all else, isn't illegal.
Yep.
But the moment you start saying, like, I could see maybe if you're a 50-year-old going to community college for a sculpting class and your teachers want a hot piece that's 10 years your junior and is single, and you guys end up hitting it off talking about fucking Marvel or something, that might be an instance where dating a teacher would be okay. But especially in the Harry Potter instance of this is a boy, and that's what we're saying, because by the time Severus was dead, Harry Potter still wasn't of legal age.
Yeah.
So, in canon, always a no-go.
Yep. I don't remember what the age of consent is in the UK.
In Hogwarts.
And in Hogwarts, but I don't care. I'm sure the age of consent in Hogwarts is like this horrific thing the Harry in Harry Potter in
It's 16, so it's vague.
Jeez. So Severus Snape torments an innocent child because that child's dad bullied him, and Severus Snape loved that child's mom. Severus Snape's selfish love of Lily and his redemption arc was really poorly done, in my opinion.
It's probably the least enjoyable part out of Harry Potter for me, other than the overt racism.
I can understand why they had to keep it secret, because he's like the secret spy who's like trying to like spy on the Dark Lord. But at the same time, he doesn't have to be so horrible to Harry to do it.
Yeah.
And I can understand why he's a little bit horrible to Harry. Like, I can forgive a little bit of it because somebody needs to prepare him and not coddle him, because he is going to have to fight the Dark Lord. So somebody has to give him a taste. So it might as well be Snape.
Don't say the word taste, please.
But like, to the extent to which he does it, I just like all these exceptions that I'm making, I'm still uncomfortable with it. And I think that Snape is a terrible person and his redemption arc was done terrible. Snape is awful. He's always been awful. And he always will be awful. That's my hot take. My headcanon is shit.
Yeah, I agree. Not about your headcanon being shit. I completely agree with you.
You know who's worse than Snape?
Who's worse?
Dumbledore.
Explain.
Oh, sure. So Snape kills Dumbledore, and it's like the best thing he ever does. Dumbledore is probably one of the more evil characters in the series.
Mm-hmm.
He might be worse than Umbridge. He keeps using Harry Potter as bait to lure out Voldemort. And he allows Harry and the rest of the kids at Hogwarts to be in extreme danger just so Voldemort can be confronted. Throughout the books, it's shown time and time again that Dumbledore knows exactly what's going on, because he plays that role of telling the reader what insidious scheme was playing out pretty much every book. But he, a powerful wizard, leaves children to solve it instead of solving it himself and keeping everybody safe. He even keeps Neville around as a spare in case Harry dies due to his negligence. This dude sucks.
Okay. Makes absolute sense to me.
So any thoughts on Harry Snape on top of that? Because I'm basically just agreeing with you.
No, I mean, Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yep. Snape kills Dumbledore. Good job, Snape. Someone, like, other than preparing Harry Potter for his confrontation with the Dark Lord.
So based on your assessment, one of the worst characters kills a potentially unequivocally worse character.
Yeah, good job.
Stopping Dumbledore in his evil tracks.
I guess so.
Perfectly done.
Speaking of Dumbledore, he's in Fantastic Beasts and he's not gay. What up with that, JKR? Dumbledore was gay was like a big thing that fans really embraced.
Yeah, that was the first cat meme I think I ever saw. Was the like surprise guy going, Dumbledore is gay?
Yeah. So we were all really excited when Fantastic Beasts was coming out because we thought, hey, Dumbledore's going to be gay in it. We'll finally get some gay representation. Nope.
We get like 10 minutes of Dumbledore stripping like Magic Mike.
That would be awesome. Magic Mike is a good movie.
I've never seen it. We only just recently read a story that lampooned it.
Oh, we should watch it sometime. Both Magic Mike and Magic Mike XXLR.
So people were telling me, like, I don't know who the fucking actor is in that. Was it Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
I've never seen a movie with Channing Tatum in it that I remember.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll have to watch it at some point in time. We'll, like, riff tracks it or something.
Like, of the films that he's been in, I've seen two, I think. The Lego Movie, but he's not in that. He's a voice. And then the other one was Kingsman 2, The Golden Circle. I don't remember what character he was. I had no idea. I never saw 21 Jump Street. I never saw Magic Mike. I never saw Step Up to the Streets. I have no idea who this person is.
I believe he is a cute boy.
That's fine.
That is what he markets himself on.
Good question. Next question.
Yeah, so Dumbledore is gay, and we were really, well, we queers, we were really hoping to have gay representation, but JKR was like, nope, we're not going to do that because she's a coward. None of the characters in my book are straight, by the way, none of the main characters.
Well, it'll be easy to predict them as long as you give them names like Regina Rug Snatcher or whatever.
Absolutely. Darn, you guessed my main character's name.
Damn it! Foiled again!
So Fantastic Beasts, the series entirety, is just an absolute shit show. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is the absolute worst movie I've ever seen that's not on Mystery Science Theater 3000, Riff Tracks, or that you have shown me as a joke, Steve-O. Because, like, what was it? The Cheetah Man movie is worse, but I mean...
Oh, Puma Man?
Yeah, Puma Man. Sorry.
It's like, oh, if there was a Cheetah Man movie, holy shit.
That would be awesome.
Cheetah Man, starring Tommy Wiseau, directed by Neil Breen. Yeah, give me that. Give me that, Hollywood.
Movies that I've seen with you that you've shown us that are bad, they're worse than Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. But I think that's intentional.
It's not like a Hollywood A-list producer-backed million-dollar venture.
Right.
What was the budget for Fantastic Beasts?
Ooh, $200 million US.
Oh, how much did it make?
$814 million. Four times.
Yeah, four times. Yeah.
Jesus.
Please stop watching these movies.
No. First of all, I'm never going to watch Fantastic Beasts because I hate John Voight. I will never do anything that could tacitly give John Voight money.
I dislike Johnny Depp because he's a terrible person, so I'm not going to watch Fantastic Beasts either.
High five for not supporting terrible people.
High five. I refuse to see Fantastic Beasts Crimes of Grindelwald, and I hear it's even worse. And how is that possible? We've been really judgmental this Harry Potter episode, but like, how can you like the Fantastic Beasts series? Just please email me and explain to me. Is it escapism? You can't not dislike anything that JKR makes? I mean, please let me know at yourhatemailisshit@gmail.com.
So we're allowed to be judgmental, but we're not allowed to, like, condemn. We're not going to say that you're a terrible person for liking this. We're saying why these people we don't like are terrible.
I don't need to understand, but I kind of want to understand. Like, I just want to know, what is it about these movies that I absolutely hated? Like, really, really hated. Like, I don't like to use the word hate, but, like, these movies were just atrocious. What is it about them that appeals to you, the person who liked this movie? You're not a bad person. And I don't need to understand, but seriously, like, I'm baffled.
Hi, baffled. I'm Dad.
Thanks, Dad. So now I guess we get to the final act, unless you have anything more to say about Dumbledore or the Fantastic Beasts series.
Well, I mean, we've talked about a lot of the canon stuff. We've talked about the prominent fan ships. Let's get to some of the more fun things.
Right. So the rare pair for me that I'm going to pick is Zacharias Smith and Blaise Zabini. I believe that's how you pronounce their names. They're like super, super minor characters. And I actually had to research them on Pottermore because I didn't remember them. Usually when I pick a rare pair, it's something that I actually ship myself. This time, it's just like I wanted to pick the rarest of the rare. There's no fix for these two, period. They're both Slytherins, so they have a reason to get together, and it's an MLM pairing. And I don't really have any investment in this rare pair. Usually I do have an investment in my rare pair, like I said, but this time I don't really have much investment. I don't really like the Harry Potter series all that much, so I didn't really try to care. I like Luna Lovegood a lot. She's my favorite character. So do you have a rare pair?
I'm looking it up to see exactly how much there is. There might not be any for this one. Sybil Trelawney /
You know, Trelawney Tonks would be a pretty good rare pair, and I could ship that.
Well, I was looking up Trelawney Hagrid.
Oh, Trelawney Hagrid. Yeah, that's like a little yikes because Hagrid's huge, but we could go with it.
That's what I like to see, though, because, you know, it's sort of the opposites attract. And
yeah, yeah.
He's a very gentle lover, especially since how he takes care of the animals. And
oh, that's true.
And they both love nature, at least in some ways. I can definitely see them getting along with one another.
Yeah.
I can't even see how many fics there are. Like, if you want to more efficiently search, I don't know if there is a single Sybil Trelawney Rubeus Hagrid fic. Because that would be my rare pair.
Well, it doesn't need to have a single fic for it to be a rare pair.
I'm aware, but to me, this would be something that I would want to see.
All right, let me see.
And I know, boring, it's straight.
Doesn't look like there are any. It looks like there's her as a character and then Hagrid as a character. There's none with her shipped with anybody. So let's both ship her. I'm going to ship her with Tonks.
Okay.
That'll be my new rare pair.
Maybe they're in a poly relationship. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. I like this cooperation.
Yes, this is co-op caring about it. So there's one that I can actually kind of care about.
I do love Tonks.
Yeah, Tonks is really good. Zacharias Smith and Blaise Zabini are so obscure. They're like minor characters that have like maybe one or two references in the books and movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like what I picked thanks to Pottermore. I found like the rarest minor characters and just picked two of them that would have a reason to get together. What about Malice ships? For me, I'm going to go with Umbridge Firenze. I hope that's how you pronounce his name, and it's consensual. For me, this is the I'm not racist, I'm dating a minority relationship.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Like, this is what she would say when they're like, you hate monsters and you hate the centaurs and you hate mudbloods. She'd be like, I'm not racist, I'm dating a centaur.
In lieu of me doing Malice ships, let me just give you the most absurd pairings I've witnessed through my treks and traipsings in the Potter fanfiction domain.
Oh, please do. Let us delve into your expertise.
First Encounter by Lyris Malachi has Hogwarts, the school, getting sexed up by a gigantic squid.
Oh, very nice.
You don't normally think about it. The school itself is essentially alive because it's just full of fucking magic and shit. And there are some very strange creatures in the Harry Potter universe. Hey, maybe the squid's one of those fantastic beasts that they couldn't find. Who knows?
I mean, it's right there.
Right. But basically, Hogwarts is like bored because it's like summer break or something. The kids aren't there. And the squid just starts inserting tentacles directly into the school. And it just balloons from there. Another one is Ronald Weasley / Professor Trelawney's tea set.
Okay.
Not Trelawney, the person, but having sex with her fucking tea set.
Wow. Okay. That's valid, I guess. I'm trying not to be too judgmental here.
That's okay. And I think that would about cover it for the worst of them with me.
We did it. All right. This one was not very long. This is a fandom that I am not really a part of because I'm not a big fan of Harry Potter. But I read all the books, watched all the movies.
What is the next fandom we are going to be going over?
So we're going to have a guest for the next fandom. I'm going to bring in my friend Jeff. And we're going to talk about Homestuck.
Homestuck. Isn't that the web cartoon by the brothers? No, that's Homestar. Okay.
Yeah, we're not doing Homestar Runner, though we should do Homestar Runner.
Oh my god, no, no, too sacred, too sacred. There's no headcanon there, they never mentioned genitals once. He says this after he's read at least three erotic Homestar Runner fanfictions and is known almost infamously for doing Homestar's voice talking about sexual things.
Yep, you do a really good impersonation of him. That is not an invitation to do it now, but if you wanted to, I wouldn't stop you.
No, no. If you want to hear my impersonation of Homestar Runner, just more often than not, click on any episode of Friday Night Fanfiction, and I'll either be doing that or Nixon.
Nice.
Homestuck, that is the webcomic, right?
Well, it's, yes, I guess you could call it a webcomic. I would call it a mixed media comic. It's got some GIFs and meet, like, Flash cartoons that it has involved in it too. So, and it has video, like games that you can play. Like there's Hive Swapped, I think is what it's called.
The comic consists of a combination of static images, animated GIFs, and instant message logs, as well as animations and games made with Adobe Flash. RIP Flash. Over 8,000 pages and 800,000 words.
Yeah, it's like,
I am not going to get through this before the next episode.
Oh, neither am I. I'm not going to be reading it. There is a YouTube video series that goes through it for you that I listened to, so I know enough about it, but I'd rather bring in an expert. I'm just going to talk a little bit about, like, Hussey, Andrew Hussey, and we'll see what I can do with this. I'm going to run it by our expert next time, Homestuck, trying to get some of the bigger ones, but we're going to save some of the big, big ones for next season, too.
I mean, we're going to always have big ones to do, but my suspicion is that you want to talk about Homestuck because of how much gay there is in it.
Yes.
There's so much gay in it.
They have their own shipping system for Homestuck that I'm going to talk about, but I'm not going to use it.
Okay.
I'm just going to talk about it. So look forward to that. All right. This has been your Headcanon is Shit. I've been your host, Jenner.
I've been your host, Steve-O, and all of our headcanons are shit. But don't talk about Homestar Runner.
It's sacred. Bye-bye.